Jen, star one, we can't hear you.
I keep getting muted today. Sorry about that. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Today is Wednesday, July 15th. It's 2026, and it's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter, We Agnostics. We're on page 52, and we're on that first paragraph, beginning with, but in most fields, and ending with, does not work for something new, which does. Today's readers, our Team Wednesday group is Sarah G., she's the 12 Steps, Kelly H. is the 12 Traditions. Our readers are Maura Z., Sally A., and Tamara C., and our newcomer reader is Sima M. Second hour moderator will be Ken W. H. The reference numbers for yesterday, if you're interested, Tuesday, July 14th, 2026, are the following. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book is 23,633, 23633. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book study is 23,634, 23634. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. It's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Sarah G. from New York. Here are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except them to do so when injured them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
I will now ask Kelly H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina. 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees during or directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sarah G. and Kelly H. for your service this morning. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose finds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does require that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then you're going to press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page number 52 and the first paragraph. I will now ask Morrissey to begin reading.
Good morning, Jenna. Morrissey, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, I bet they'd do it. Maybe not so long either. Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, by the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does? So they're talking about change in thinking. We're still in We Agnostics, so we're still talking about higher power and incorporating a spiritual path into our lives. And they're talking about here how our minds change and how we can now perhaps open our minds and think, yes, this path might work for me. Throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does is how we've been living for decades now. Planned obsolescence in our devices. Things that are not going to last for decades. Back when this was written, things were done, things were created, manufactured that were going to last forever. Now when they manufacture something, it's going to break down within 2 to 3 years. We're not going to have it for 20 years like our parents did. So our thoughts along the lines of spiritual path have also changed within the last 10 pages of this book, that we think along the lines of, I can change my mind. I can think, You know what? There have been many people that have told me of their spiritual path and how their lives have been changed and how they've become abstinent, recovered, compulsive overeaters. And that does not happen by us alone. That's a gift we get from our higher power. And I need to stay on the spiritual path because that's what's going to lead me to my higher power. That's what's going to lead me to stay in a recovered state. Things change, and our minds can change. And with that, I pass.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Maura Z, for opening us up this morning. All right. So we value everyone's experience that's here today on the line, and we do ask that you share every third day so that others can share their experience too. I'm going to be taking a list of names. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, that would be great.
Nadia P. from Toronto.
Okay, I have Toronto, and can you tell me again your first name?
Yeah, Nadia P.
Nadia P, thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa C.
Hi, Lisa C, gotcha.
Leah S.
Y-G-A. Y-G-A-E.
Leah S. Y-G-A-E.
Nancy C.
Nancy C.
Vasa O.
Vasa O.
Sherry D.
Shelly D. All right, well, that sounds like an awesome lineup. Thanks, everybody, for coming in really slow and kind to me today. if you'll give the state, country, or location. I'm sorry?
Sima M.
Sure, Sima, I'll add you. There we go. Okay. If you'll give the state, city, country, where you're calling from when you get up to pitch, that would be great. We have Nadia P., Lisa C., Leah S., Nigeria E., Nancy C., Vasa O., Shelly D., and Sima M. So we'll start off with Nadia P. Go right ahead, Nadia.
Yeah, hello, Nadia P. from Toronto. I don't know really what I want to say, but I'm just so moved by this program and today's reading. And I feel that looking back at my own self, coming in, I'm new to OA, that my struggle I had to come into OA. And as soon as I got in, I thought, oh yeah, I felt that feeling of liberation and that my mind was open to something new. And then I was introduced to the first step. And I thought, oh, well, I've always known the first step. I've realized that's why I'm here. Then the second step, I believe there's a power greater than myself. But when it came to accepting it, I found out that I closed my mind and I realized that that was where my struggle is. And so the reason reading today has really made me think how, and from what the person who read it says, we're able to change our thinking and open our minds. And this yesterday, no, 2 days ago, I, in my quiet time, I really prayed and I asked God to help me, my higher power, who I call God, to help me to open my mind. And I felt I had a wonderful awareness of this power that is greater than me and that my mind could be liberated. And although I'm still working on my abstinence, I realize I can't do it. It's totally this opening of my mind to my higher power, God, and that he could do it through me. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for the liberation I'm now starting to experience. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Nadia P. from Toronto, Canada. Grateful for your share this morning. Thanks for getting on. Up next, we have Lisa C., followed by Leah S. Good morning, Lisa. Where are you calling from today?
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you, everyone. I think what I like about this paragraph is just, you know, this comparison, right? Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, I bet they do it. Like, in other words, like, I have to look at the people who are immersed in the things, right, that I want. So, you know, like, a longshoreman is looking at the sky a lot. You know, they're out there on their boats and ships, and they know a lot about how these vessels work. You know, how the engineering works, how you know, a rocket might make it to the moon at this point, right? And so if I want to know like how God works, I do have to like talk to people who believe and who accept and who kind of are living a spiritual life. You know, in the same way that I also think that, you know, this gives some like, how do I put it? I think that like when I think about how much I love science, because I really do, and how fascinating I find like the world to be, you know, just things that exist in nature without seeming human intervention, right? That are so beautiful and so precise and are governed, like this book says, are governed by precise laws. You know, and I listen to what scientists say, and I love when they admit things that they don't know, and I love when they share things that sound like only God could have arranged them or some kind of intelligent power could have arranged them. Because then I'm going to the source that I think is always atheist. Like my blocked up mind will assume that if you're someone who believes in science, you couldn't possibly believe in God, but that's actually not the case. Extremely intelligent scientists and engineers have some of the deepest faith of people I've come across. The part that I really wanted to think about, though, is just is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, readiness, and then throw away what doesn't work for something new? So here, ease and readiness, like these are the action words here, right? Can I let go of my rigidity, right? And have this liberation of thinking so that I can discard what doesn't work, that what I'm looking for is what works and what doesn't. In a very functional way, this paragraph is trying to tell me, how's it going, Lisa, right? In the disease, in the food, how's it working for me? Which is a question that I hated that my very first sponsor said, how's that working for you, in this very snarky way. And I thought, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. But when I can put my defenses down and really listen to that, how was it working? It was hell. Everything was a shambles in my life because the effort and the thinking and the feeling was so overwhelming to me. I could not put myself in a restful state so that I could do anything actionable and loving. So this paragraph reminds me that actually this is what I want. I want the ease and the readiness that I apply to other areas of my life to be applied to this problem and to the spiritual realm, because that's where my solution is. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Up next, we have Leah S., followed by Nigeria E. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you, everyone who does service over here. And thank you for all these wonderful shares. My name is Leah S., and I'm presently in upstate New York. I'm from Brooklyn, but at this point, I'm in upstate. Okay. Oh, wow. So what does open-mindedness mean to me? Open-mindedness means that, you know what, I'm not going to have that croissant and that coffee every morning. No more. No more. It's going to, you know, it's going to change. And I don't want to change it because, why don't I want to change it? Because that piece of cake gives me a good start. It fills me up with a lot of sugar and it makes me feel good. And don't tell me that the diet is going to make me feel good. So I'm not ready to be open-mindedness about changing my diet. And yet I keep on coming back and saying, what is really the solution? What is open-mindedness? Try it. Try it. And try that thing with the higher power. I mean, something that I don't see and I don't know, how does that work for me? It doesn't even make sense. And then be vulnerable. Be vulnerable because there is something within me that is so pure and so honest that all I have to do is to try to do it. And slowly but surely, I can change my diet. And I can actually like it. And slowly but surely, I can change myself. Not the other person who I hate, but myself. And I can be who I want to be with my higher power supporting me. And it's something that you got to feel. It's not something that I can explain. You got to come to the feeling. But it does definitely start with the open-mindedness. And I keep learning more things every day about my life, about me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Appreciate you. Nigia E., you're up next, followed by Nancy C. Nigia, if you could just spell your first name for everyone so they could find you on the list and tell us what state you're calling from or country. Thank you.
Sure. This is Wajia, Wajieha. And I'm in the United States. I'm in Maryland. So with this chapter, We Agnostics, since I've come back this time, I'm not going through this chapter. Usually when we get to this chapter, I'm like, oh, God, not this chapter. And I would try to run through it. I have to say this time, I'm getting more from this chapter than I ever have. We Agnostics of all chapters. The one thing that it's really sticking out, that just jumped out this morning, just a phrase, just a sentence we've all heard, a power greater than myself. Well, one thing that I'm learning this time, that for decades I've said a power greater than myself, did I really try to connect? I don't think I did. Everyone in the room said, you know, power greater than ourselves, and everyone was happy and abstinent and all of the things. So I said those things. I came into these rooms, people, they were losing weight. The people that may have been agnostic, not agnostic, but the people that may have been bulimic, everybody was getting healed. That's what I saw in these rooms. And they kept saying a power greater than myself. So I said it too. But I never really connected to that power. I just said it. And then when my weight started to come off, well, I was convinced, yep, that was that power. Sure was. That power greater than myself. Excuse me. But this time I'm thinking, wait. Did you connect to that power? And what is that power? So this time around, I am really connecting to that power. I've said to that power some things that, like, you really pissed me off. And then I said, you know what? I love you and thank you for blessing me. And that's a connection for me. I don't have to be fake and phony anymore, like a power greater than myself. I really get to talk about that power. When I say it now, I really mean it. I am connecting with a power greater than myself. Am I there yet? I don't know. I'll get that shoulder tap. But right now, what I'm getting is a power greater than myself. Hi, I'm Wajia, and who are you? Instead of just saying it, power greater than myself, and off I go. So grateful to be here this morning that I found our program. And if you're new and you're listening to, like, what in the entire, yeah, we felt like that too. We didn't identify, I'll speak for me. I didn't identify myself on these calls. I just listened. Some of these calls I listened to while I was eating a donut. Who knows? But I listened and I kept coming until I connected. I connected to the meeting. It was a while for me to connect to a higher power. But keep coming. Hang out with us. And with that, I'll pass. Wajia in Maryland.
Thank you, Wajia. Wajia E, it's Wajieha from Maryland. Thanks for sharing spelling and clarification. Up next, we have Nancy C, followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Thanks for leading the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C, gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And cleaning my feet today, but also wanted to talk about the liberation of my thinking. You know, that was key for me in coming in, because I used to think I had to do everything myself, that I had the power, that if only the world would do what I wanted it to do, everything would be fine. And I got so into, I've used this analogy before on this line, but the guy in Animal House that takes the band down a corner and can't go anywhere, but just against the corner, they're just fighting in that alley. That's what my life was like. And when I realized that I was powerless, or that I was learning in this book that I had no power, that was so freeing to see things happen in my life that I didn't do, that I just had to show up and things started to happen. Watching other people become recovered and live happily, joyous, and free, that was like me looking at a longshoreman and, you know, reading the paper saying, you know, I bet it happens to me and not for too long, and that will happen to other people. And I'm realizing today that it's easy for me to throw away gadgets real quickly and go for new ones, but it is not easy for me to get rid of my fixed ideas, that those I really have to keep going to a power greater than myself and admit that powerlessness, which this chapter teaches me about. But there's also a cautionary tale that I have for me today, and that's that I can't keep throwing away got this recovery, I found God in these programs, but I have to remember that my relationship with God is with me and God. It's not with everyone else. And if I start comparing what other people are doing or how they're doing it and throw away what I have because I think I have something better, I get myself into a world of hurt, because now I'm comparing and I'm despairing rather than remembering that God gave me this gift of recovery, and it's unique between me and Him because He does love me, and that it is my business to share that with other people, but not to compare what other people do. It's only between me and my God. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. Up next, we have Vasa O., followed by Shelley D. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Jen, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Yeah, and this is really a good reading. And yes, I tried to control the food for many, many, many years by my own willpower, by my own strength, by my own wisdom. And I tried everything in my power that I could. With all the diets and everything, it worked for little that I always gave him back into the food addiction. So I came in open-minded. You know, I had the sponsor brought me to the program, 12-step me, for about a week. We spent a lot of time talking about the program before she took me to my first meeting. And she looked, I loved, we were friends, struggled with food addiction for a long time. And I liked what I saw in her. You know, she lost weight. She had the glowing eyes. She looked peaceful. And I said, what have you been doing? And she told me she'd been going 12-step program food addiction. She found that through AA, but found out food was her number one problem. And I just found so much hope. And I was willing and ready. I said, I will do whatever it takes. And she said, the only requirement is for us, you know, to do the step one, 100%. And then we ask God, we surrender to God to help us. And I remember I had the gift of desperation at that time. You know, I remember saying, I will surrender to God. I'll surrender to higher power. I will surrender to anybody. Please help me because I'm dying. And the food was killing me. I had no understanding of the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, in the doctor's opinion. What a reading. I said, yes, this is me. This is me. So I was ready and willing to surrender. And I said, God, I can't do this by myself. And that was the beginning of my new life, throw the old way, Vasa. I needed to find a power greater than myself, which I call God. And that was the beginning. And I really had a hard time saying, I'm recovered compulsive overeater, till I came to Vision for You. And yes, I am freed from the food addiction. And I'm very proud to say I am grateful recovered. And it comes from God. God is giving me that power. God is giving me the strength. It doesn't come from my own. It comes from God. And I'm grateful to say, yes, I'm recovered. It doesn't mean that I don't go through life in other things, you know, emotionally, you know, or spiritually. But I've always gone back to God. Please get me through what I'm going through, like I do with the food addiction. So I'm just grateful to say I am recovered, compulsive overeater. Some people don't understand. They said, how could you be recovered? That's because God took the compulsion and the obsession with the food, and then I do the rest of the steps with that power that comes from God. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. Vasa O from Massachusetts. Up next we have Shelly. Is it Shelly D?
Thank you so much. It's Sherry D, S-H-A-R-I-D.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yes. Thank you.
And where are you
so
calling
much
from this morning?
I'm in Maryland, compulsive overeater, living in the state of peace, calm, and Maryland. What a great meeting, Maura. Thank you so much for starting us off. I really loved you discussing your journey, and I'm listening to all the speakers, and everyone is talking about their journey. You know, this book, it says that the purpose of this book is to show us what 100 hopeless, helpless alcoholics did to be able to live in the state of peace and calm and emotional sobriety. And it tells me I have to have a relationship with a power greater than myself. But thank goodness it didn't say, and this is what it has to be. I was one of those people that came in with my, you know, I got to throw out those old ideas. I had a lot of old ideas that were not working for me. First of all, in the first step, I admitted I was powerless and my life was unmanageable because of everybody else. I don't know if you guys knew, but that, you know, in my head, that's the rest of that step is it's everybody else's fault. I don't want to take responsibility for this, my actions. I don't want to take responsibility for anything. I want everybody to take care of me. And no, you know, my sponsor, bless her, looked at me, smiled and said, keep coming back. And got to that second step, came to believe. She broke it down and said, we come to, and then we come to believe. Because I was coming to believe as I watched and listened to these people who I knew were in hopeless and helpless situations when they came to this program. I knew that they were like me on death's door. I knew that there were people out there making bargains with this God, air quotes, saying, I know you're sick of me, so I will remove myself from this earth to make life easier for you and those around me. That's where I was when I came to this program, and I listened to my sponsor, and I listened to the steps, and I listened to the traditions, and I went to tradition meetings, and I saw that glimpse of a higher power in the second tradition reveals himself through our group conscience. And I said, okay, my first God is going to be a group of drunks. My first God is going to be good orderly direction. Then it was a tree. And I know I hear people saying you can't do it that way, but that's part of my journey. And this program says it's your interpretation of what works for you, because I have to have a power greater than myself, greater than my disease, louder than my disease, that I feel safe enough to turn my entire will and life over to the care of. I'm very grateful that for today, I have that relationship. I'm still abstinent. I know I'm not doing it. The only choices I'm making are to follow the steps of this program, use the tools, pick up the phone, share. I'm claiming my seat, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Sherry D. from Maryland. Sima, before you share, let me just let all those folks who might have gotten on a little bit late know where we're at today. We are reading in Lea Agnostics, page 52, the first paragraph. It begins with, but in most fields, ending with does not work for something new, which does. So we're going to have Sima M share, and then we'll take in the list of names after Sima. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Sima M, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Thank you for your service and everyone who shared. Higher power, I call God. I would never have called myself an agnostic, although I didn't know what I had God, but I didn't really have a God that was a power working in my life that I could rely on. And that's what I've come to rely on now in this program. And without this program, I don't know what I'd be doing. I came in 50 years ago. And I heard everything, and I heard the steps, and I heard people working on the steps in the big book, but there weren't any recovered people that I could actually see that had what I want. So eventually, after 20 years, I left. Then I came back 13 years ago, and thank God I found a vision for you, because now I found people that have what I want, and I'm happy to say that through them, I have learned the meaning of trusting in a higher power and how to work these steps and how to live life as a recovered person. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Sima M. And I didn't get where you were calling from.
Hi, this is Sima M from New Jersey.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. All right. So we do value everyone's experience that's on the line with us today. So we ask that you limit your share to every third day. That way others have the opportunity to share their experience too. So share the air, but you can give me your first name and first initial of your last name if you'd like to pitch today. Go right ahead.
Judy M.
Lisa BT.
It's okay.
Jason KP.
Judy M. Lisa BT.
Joyce B. from Illinois.
I have
Esther K.
Who was before Lisa. Joyce?
Kaya P.
Thanks, Kaya.
Suzanne M. from Illinois.
Suzanne. So this is who I got. I missed somebody in between. So Judy M, Lisa BT, Jason Paya, Joyce, and Suzanne. Who else did I miss?
Esther K.
Joyce B from Illinois.
I think I got you, Joyce B. And
okay,
Esther.
Thank you.
Lisa M.
Okay, let's. You know what? I'm going to stop there. It's a big lineup for the rest of the morning, and I don't know that we're going to get to everybody on this list, but if we do, please unmute again. Thanks for your patience. This is who I heard. Judy M., Lisa BT, Jason Haya, Joyce, Suzanne, and Esther. So if you'll give me your name, first initial of your last name, and the state that you're calling from when you come up to pitch, it's greatly appreciated so everyone knows how to find you on the list. And we'll start with Judy M. Go right ahead. You'll have to hit star one to unmute again.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Judy, go right ahead. Where are you calling in from today?
This is Judy N, as in Nancy, from Maryland, living one day
Thank
at a
you.
Time recovered. And when I read this paragraph, I think of a lack of open-mindedness. Being closed-minded to new ideas when it comes to spirituality. But then, you know, your life isn't working. What you're doing isn't getting you any results. You're living in your addiction, and yet you're continuing on the same path. What you're doing the same things, you're thinking the same way, and getting no results. Still living suffering and in pain. And to me, that's insane. That's insane living, and your life is unmanageable. So if you continue on that path, you're not going to, you'll be at death's door, or you'll just continue that way. It says that in the book that we need a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual experience in order to deal with our self-will. Because our self-will ultimately has to be aligned to God's will. So in the back of our book, under the spiritual experience, it says right there, by Herbert Spencer, that willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable. You have to have, you might have the willingness and the honesty, but you have to have the open-mindedness of new experiences, of new perspectives, of new ways of thinking. And there's no way out of that. And that includes just act willing or act as if, but you have to take the steps. You have to go through the steps. But he states this: there is a principle which is a bar against all new information. And that principle is contempt prior to investigation. So we just can't live that way anymore with prejudices or saying to ourselves, well, I'll never do this, I can't do that. We have to be open-minded to new experiences, or we're going to continue getting the same results, and that doesn't make sense. Open-mindedness is the key, and willingness and the readiness to be open-minded and take that next step. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judy N. from Maryland. Up next, we have Lisa B.T. Where are you calling in from, Lisa?
Hi, thank you so much. Yeah, Lisa B.T., recovered, grateful, compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I love this way we do this each morning, because every paragraph just suddenly is fresh and new, and hearing what everybody has to say. Thanks so much for the lead share and all the shares. For me, it made me think of, I was renting a place once, I had a lovely landlady, and I had trouble with the washing machine. And she called her guy and he came, and she said, you know, I've kept this washing machine for over 25 years. I don't want to get one of the new ones because they break down so quickly, and they're kind of designed to do that. And so I just keep this one going because it was designed to keep going. And plus, I have a guy who knows how to work with it as well. That's also kind of falling by the wayside. Who knows how to repair these old machines? Well, you know, my body is kind of like that washing machine. I'm not going to be able to throw it away. I have tried. You know, the way that I treated my body with food, eating too much, eating not enough. Eating tons of really, really unhealthy things for years, and thinking that a different diet, a different approach, would fix it. And so really in this place where it was not going to come to any successful conclusion. And then I had the unbelievable grace to come across the 12-step program, which really let me understand in a whole new way. And it took me a long time because I did not have an open mind particularly at all, and still struggle with that on a day-by-day basis. But I did come to understand that there's an eternal power that is there for me and can help me. And can help me take care of this precious gift of a life and a body in a way that is, I couldn't even have imagined it. And I'm unbelievably grateful. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this morning. We do appreciate you, Lisa B.T. from Ontario, Canada. Up next, we have Jason. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Jason K.P. from Pennsylvania. So Bill is you know, working with us to kind of beg of us to have an open mind. You know, he's talking about, you know, our age, you know, and he's talking about, you know, we've witnessed in our generation, it's funny how he talks about, you know, these ultra modern ideas and this new age of, you know, and it's the 30s, 1930s, right? A complete liberation of our thinking, right? And why does he say show a longshoreman a supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket? It's because a longshoreman is an everyday guy, just that your normal Joe, right? He's a blue collar guy, not the foremost rocket scientist in the country who knows it can be done because they're on the cutting edge. And this guy says, yeah, I bet they do it not so long either. Our age is characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas from the new. So how does that apply to me, right? What are my old ideas? You know, for me, God did raise a certain aversion, right? I listened to the God of the Bible in my youth and adolescence and scoffed. How could this be possible, a burning bush and voices from the sky? And I did form a militant atheism, right? But then later on, when that shifted through some different experiences, I went into a God of Santa Claus God. God, do for me. I had my hand on the rudder. I wanted God to put the wind in my sails, so to push me in the direction. God, get behind me. God, do for me. I remember struggling in a relationship. God, help me with this woman, right? Help me with this. And it was a messed up relationship, right? It was a woman who was married and I was messing with her, right? But God help me, right? And my shift, my change, and a lot of this comes through the fourth step and through our work and through our step work is, God, I do for you. You are the principal. I am the agent. I work for you. So I don't ask God a lot for anything. I ask God for, you know, strength and direction, and I ask God to do God's will, to be of service, to be helpful. I don't ask God for, you know, God help me do this, do that. That comes naturally through getting connected to God's power. You know, God keeps me abstinent. I don't know. I don't really think about it much. The abstinence is just there. And our fourth step shows us, you know, I had an old idea. The IRS is the bad guy, but my inventory shows me, why was I afraid of an IRS audit? Because I lied, cheated, stole, misrepresented on my taxes for years and years. Am I afraid of an IRS audit today? No, absolutely not. Open book, right? I don't do that anymore. The old idea was the IRS is the bad guy. The new idea is I'm afraid because of my selfishness, my selfish actions set in motion these circumstances where I would be afraid if the IRS audited me. So hopefully we have no tax accountants on the line looking up my number, but that's in the past. That's a long time ago. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jason. KP from Pennsylvania. Up next, we have Haya, followed by Joyce B. Haya, what's the first initial of your last name?
My name is spelled C-H-A-Y-A, and my last initial is P as in party. I live in New Jersey, but it may still say Colorado on the list. Hi, everybody. My name is Chaya, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic restrictor. I live in New Jersey, and I want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous, or maybe you're struggling in the rooms, maybe you're coming back. We're just so glad that you're here. You landed in a really, really strong Overeaters Anonymous meeting called A Vision for You, and we're just glad you're here. There's so many miracles, as you have already heard. You know, I always share that when I came in, I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God, not what I was looking for. And I came in very young. I was 18. I'm 59 now. But when I was 18, I remember telling my mother saying to me, they're brainwashing you. You know, and I remember talking to a lady in a AA meeting, and I said, my mother says, my family thinks, you're brainwashing me. And she said, honey, your brain needs washing. And, you know, where the direction I was heading and how I was thinking and how I was acting was definitely not a direction that would have gotten me to where I am today in my life.
But I was thinking, as I think a lot in metaphors and as people were sharing, I just like had this image just popped in my head of, you know, my computer told me it had an update ready that was going to happen. And I was just thinking, you know, and this update's going to make my computer run better and faster and smarter and be more efficient so that I can, you know, I can get more pleasure and efficiency and productivity out of it. And it's like saying, well, I don't want the update. I don't need an update. Or I don't believe that it's possible that this can do anything better than it's already doing. And yet when it comes to computers, they were like, we never think like that. Like, oh, an update, that's amazing, you know? So I was thinking about that attitude with a higher power, like opening up my database, my mind, to allow some new information, to allow an upgrade to happen inside my mind by the power that created my mind. That's the hardest part, right, is wrapping our mind around something that created our mind. It's just not, it's not possible, really. So that's where faith comes in and living, at least for me. I can't understand everything, but I see things, you know. I can, when we start to look, when we tune in, at least that's been my experience, and I know the experience of many, many people in these programs. I'm just so grateful it's not a religious program. I happen to be a religious person now. I try to be connected and faith into my religion, which is so in sync with this program. I should say the program's in sync with it. But I'm so glad it's not a religious program, because that would have been a barrier to me. I would not be here today if I had to believe in a specific deity. And I'm so grateful that is still the case, because that allows other people. Thanks. That allows other people. I hope you'll stay. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, Haya. And it's C-H-A-Y-A-P. Look for New Jersey or Colorado on the list. All right. So we're almost out of time. Joyce B., you're going to be our last share for today. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, everyone. I'm Joyce B. from Illinois. And I love the big book. And I love this chapter on agnostics. I never considered myself an agnostic. And yet I was. You know, the first couple of chapters talk about putting down the food. And then it's all about living life. Living life, not on my terms, but God's terms. And how do I do that? That has been the difficulty, the joy, the absolute frustration of my life, learning how to live life on His terms and not my own, learning how to accept the joy and pain in life, because there's both, learning how to deal with situations that I don't want to be in, and yet there I am in the midst of it, and learning how to do it differently than I've been doing it. I used to depend on food to solve all my problems, and never did solve problems, but in my crazy thinking, I thought it did. But yet now, how do I solve problems a different way, a spiritually mature way, because I needed a spiritual solution for my problems, to face my fears. I was just overcome by fear in my life. Never realized that. I always thought I was tough. Well, I'm not. But going to my higher power, who I call God, I have found that He is the solution. He helps me get through those tough times. He helps me accept the joy and the pain that is associated with life and living life on life's terms. That's what He helps me do every day, and I'm very, very grateful for this way of life, very grateful for recovery, very grateful to learn how to cope with life on life's terms. Thanks for letting me share, Joyce from Illinois. Oh, Joyce B.
Thanks, Joyce B. Appreciate you for taking us out today.
Suzanne, Esther, and anyone else that wanted to share, you will have an opportunity at the second hour non-recorded meeting. So thank you. Sorry we couldn't get to everyone. It was just such a great meeting and a great paragraph today. So we do appreciate everybody who's here on the line today. Please join us for that second unrecorded hour of study. It's going to be immediately following the closing today of this meeting. Well, here's the share ID for today. Grab your pen and paper. Write this one down. July 15th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The meeting ID number was 23,636. That's 23636. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 164, and then we're going to follow that up by the Serenity Prayer. Tamara C., could you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for your service. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.